produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, greetings, ladies and gentlemen from all over the world. I greet you all in the name of my wonderful Savior. My name is Sanelisiwe Maphosa, and thank you so much for tuning in. We are blessed by your presence, and we pray that the Lord uses this platform for us to better educate ourselves on financial literacy and how we can better use finance, our monies, to better our lives. Thank you so much. We are blessed by your presence, and we hope that the show will change and shift your mindset towards how money works, and it ultimately will change your life. Years ago, I read a quote by a famous philosopher by the name of Alan Greenstone, which read, "The number one problem in today's economy and generation is the lack of financial literacy." Oh, wow. That was a quote which has stuck with me for so many years. And that is why I am so passionate about financial literacy and educating so many people on it, because I found that most of us make personal financial decisions which in the long run, they cost us in the long term, because we lacked understanding of how do these actual systems of finance actually work. And one thing which was evidence during this pandemic that we are under, the COVID-19 pandemic, which has affected the world all over, one thing that we have seen is that the world as we know it has changed. But one thing we are assured of is that our God has not changed. Our God remains the same. Our God is still faithful even to this day. It is up to us to apply the wisdom. It is up to us to apply the knowledge that we acquire onto our day-to-day financial practices. We cannot speak about financial literacy without understanding the systems of finance. We need to understand what governs money and how those systems actually control how money works. Now, let's start with a simple topic. Let's start talking about monetary policies, right? For certain people who do not have a finance background, once you speak about monetary policies, they start switching off and they kind of decide that it's something so complicated or it sounds like rocket science. But because you are listening to Money Matters with Sanelisiwe Maphosa, let us break it down. What is monetary policy? Simply put, in each and every country, there are systems that govern how should the finances actually work. Let's give practical examples. In the United States of America, which is the USA, we have got what you call the central bank, which is the Federal Central Reserve Bank. That is the presiding bank. Simply put, we call it the Fed. Now, what the Fed actually does is that they put policies into place that regulate your commercial banks. How do commercial banks actually charge interest? What they basically do is that they will either increase or decrease the supply of money, which in fact will actually affect the interest rates that banks will charge you, because when they increase the supply of money, it means that people have better access to money, which they can borrow at a lesser interest rate. So a person will walk into a bank, borrow money, they're going to charge you less interest rate. And when people use that money to go and purchase certain products, certain services, that initially means that the economy grows and so forth. In Europe, we have what you call the European Reserve Bank. It basically works the same way. In South Africa, we have what you call the South African Reserve Bank. Now, in South Africa, how it actually works, how the banks or the government actually monitor how they charge your interest rates, is that with the Reserve Bank, what they do have, they have what you call a repo rate. Now, this might sound complicated, but it is actually quite simple. The repo rate is a percentage that they will calculate to say when banks borrow you money, they do not borrow you their money. They actually go to the Reserve Bank, which is the presiding bank, and they borrow money from the Reserve Bank. And when you walk in as a customer to borrow money, that is where they're going to charge you what you call a prime rate. Now, the repo rate will be charged to the bank as the bank borrows the money. Currently, the repo rate in South Africa is sitting at 3.5%. So when you walk in as a customer and you are trying to borrow money or you're trying to access credit, what they're going to do is that they're going to borrow you money at what they call a prime rate. Now, the prime rate to date is sitting at 7%. And then your credit record will come into place, and that is where basically they're going to assess how much they're going to charge you when it comes to interest. But we will talk about your credit record, your credit scoring at the later stage of the show. I hope this is all making sense, because it does affect us as individual customers. One would ask a question, how does it affect us? Interest rates, whether we are saving, investing, or borrowing money, they do come into play. Inflation is something that also comes into play, which is affected by the policies when it comes to the monetary policy. Whatever decision is being taken over there, basically it will affect you as an individual customer on how you actually spend your money. It will affect the prices of oils, it will affect the prices of petrol, and so forth. And when we look at the statistics, one of the statistics actually show that in developing countries, specifically in Africa, we are seeing that there is a debt to income ratio. We are seeing that the debt to income ratio is currently sitting at 74%. Simply put, it shows that in most African countries, for every 100 rand note or dollar that each household has, they are actually spending 74% of it to service debt, which is quite high. And this indicates that in most developing countries, we have more of a debt than a savings culture. People are reliant on debt to survive. People are reliant on debt to make ends meet at the end of the month, which is not good at all. It means that you need more money to service this type of debt. And when we look at the statistics that were released by the International Labour Organization, which indicated that due to this pandemic, due to this COVID-19 pandemic, it is possible that more than 27 million people will lose their jobs all around the world, which is quite high. Now, this question, it actually gives rise to say, if so many people are going to lose their sources of income, what actually should we do? Where do we actually start with managing our finances under a pandemic? Now, I'm going to take you through simple steps that each and every household needs to go through to actually manage their finances during this pandemic. Let's start with step number one. Step number one would be unlearning old habits. Now, this is a difficult one. It's a difficult one. For an example, myself, I love shopping. It's one thing I enjoy so much. For me, what they call retail therapy really works for me. But one thing that this pandemic has taught me is that we need to go back to basics. What we thought was important, we actually realize now that it was not important at all. And some of the things that we need to go back and look at is that we have certain old habits that we've either inherited from growing up or as we grew up. For an example, some of us had tendencies back in the past where we purchased goods or services that we didn't really actually need. It's just that we did not realize it at that point in time that we do not need this product or service. And for certain people, they utilized debt. They went into credit facilities for them to access those types of products and services. So it is important for us to go back to basics, go back to the drawing board, and actually define what are your needs and what are your wants. That is point number one. Point number two, which is quite important, it is budgeting. Now, when it comes to budgeting, truth be told, it is not as easy as one might say. It's easier said than done. It's one thing to draw up a budget. It's another to actually stick to your budget up until the end of the month. Now, Tips. Let's talk about tips when it comes to budgeting. How do you make your budget as realistic as possible, and how do you actually stick to this budget of yours? Firstly, we need to understand that when you budget and you are a part of a household, it is better that you budget with your household. You involve them, you know, you involve your children, you involve your spouse into this budget so that it is as realistic as possibly can. And one of the key factors when it comes to budgeting that people don't realize is that your bank statement is the key to your budgeting, because one thing that we must realize is that Your bank statement is basically a blueprint of your spending patterns. Your bank statement will tell you the income that you've received. It will tell you where basically your money is going each and every month. It will give you a detailed transaction to say this is how much that you spent on this certain day on this certain product or certain service. So that is a way where you can control your money. I will speak about money personalities at a later stage. Believe it or not, we do have money personalities as people, different money personalities for every different person. And as soon as you understand your money personality, then it is easier for you to manage your money when you understand what type of personality do you have. It's easier for you to actually avoid certain aspects, to actually avoid certain spending when you know what personality do you have when it comes to money. Now let's go back to budgeting. I spoke about bank statements, how important they are, because it's basically going to tell you where your money is going. And during this pandemic, when you look at the statistics, it will show you that more than 23 million people already have lost their jobs around the world or have had their income compromised. They are no longer earning what they used to earn. Now, this comes back to budgeting, to say that you need to sit down with your family and you need to start reallocating your money to different aspects of your life. You need to sit down and be as realistic as possibly can with yourself to say, this is the situation that we find ourselves into. This is the income that we are currently earning, and now these are the kind of obligations that we have, so that when you budget, you better know that these amounts of money must go towards this aspect of your life. One great philosopher said, it's not about how much you make, but it is actually about how much you can keep, which takes us to point number three of savings. Yes, you heard me, savings. Yes, I know most people will say we cannot save because we're under a pandemic. It is not that easy. Yes, it is not easy at all. But one thing that we need to realize is that savings is very, very important. This pandemic has actually revealed to us, to so many people, especially in African countries, when you look at the debt ratio, when you look at the fact that people did not have an emergency savings plan, which is quite important. Each and every family should have an emergency savings plan in place. Why should we have an emergency savings plan in place? COVID-19 has just revealed to us why should we have an emergency planning savings plan in place, because it was a pandemic that no one knew that it's going to happen. And when it hit hard financially on certain people because they had nothing saved up. And we are seeing statistics from the banks that actually indicate that people now need to go in and take out personal loans just to service their day-to-day living expenses, which is quite problematic. An emergency savings account, it's something that we need to adapt. It's something that we should, it should be a lifestyle basically for each and every one of us. But the question is, how do you actually go about having an emergency savings account, and how much should you actually save into an emergency savings account? Now, experts will tell you that you need to save between 3 and 6 months of your pay into an emergency savings account. But in reality, when we go back to reality, we can actually pick up that it is not as easy or as realistic. So advisably, you would rather keep 3 or 6 months of your living expenses. Now, these are the expenses that you need to service in order for you to survive. Your food, your mortgage bond, you need to pay off your houses. So do a calculation of this is how much that you do need to survive and put it into an emergency savings account. Look at various options that are open at the bank. Certain accounts will earn you interest. So save into that account. And whenever an emergency arises, then you know that you can go back into this emergency account and it will help you better. It is very important that we do have emergency savings account as families. Also bear in mind that there are certain products or services that you do have that you you have them insured. That is something that we'll also talk about. Those products or services are insured, so you do not need to calculate them into your emergency savings account, because in an incident that you are no longer able to pay them off, then your insurance will kick in. Now let's go to point number four of insurance. Let's talk insurance. Insurance is very important, but one thing that we need to also realize is that certain people are in the under or they are overinsured. Ensure that you are not overinsured. Ensure that you are not paying more than what you should be paying. Typical example, ensure what you cannot live without. Ensure those assets that you're going to need on an everyday basis. That is one important aspect when it comes to insurance, is that ensure what you cannot afford to lose. Now, let's take it down to step number five, which is a debt strategy. Believe it or not, truth be told, most of us will have to tap into debt once in a while, whether it's for a new car, whether it's for a new house. Most of us do not have a lump sum or a luxury where we have a lump sum to actually go in and purchase a car or a house via cash. We need to go towards a credit facility and actually tap into that. But sit down with yourself and actually have a debt strategy that will tell you, this is the amount of cash or products that you're going to purchase cash, and these are the amounts or the products or the services that you're going to actually purchase via debt. Now, what we're seeing in most African countries is that people are over-reliant on debt. People cannot survive on debt. Now, the question is, what is being over-reliant on debt? Which takes me to my next point, your credit score. Credit scores will tell you, basically. Credit scores, simply put, it is a consolidated report of the credit facilities that you have had in your lifetime. If you've ever had an account, if you've ever had a mortgage bond, it will be on your credit report. That is where your credit providers will actually sit down and look at the fact that, will they give you access to credit? Let's say you are applying for a new house, you want to upgrade your house and you need credit for it. That is the first place that they're going to check. It is a summary, basically, report of the credit facilities that you've had in the past, the current credit facilities, and your payment history, if you've ever had any defaults when it comes to payment. And that credit score, they're going to use and check it to actually calculate the interest rate that they're going to quote you. So quite important, and most of us don't actually realize the importance of having a credit score. So if your debt strategy does not speak to your credit score, what you're basically going to find is that you're going to find yourself over-reliant on debt. Now, what is being over-reliant on debt? Basically, when credit providers actually look at you, they look at, let's make a practical example. Let's say I apply for a credit card for 1,000 rand and I spend the entire 1,000 rand and I pay the minimum. To me, I've paid the minimum. But when the credit facility actually looks at me, they see that I'm over-reliant on debt because I've spent the entire amount. Now, one thing we can advise is that with whatever amount of money that they've quoted, you always use 30% of it. Do not exceed the 30%. In that way, when credit providers actually look at you, they see that you are not over-reliant on debt. Now, this is a tip that you will only get on Money Matters with Sanel Siyamaphosa. It works worldwide. And also, due to the pandemic, we are seeing more people not being able to service their debt. We are seeing people, or rather banks, complaining of bouncing debit orders. One thing which is quite important when it comes to that, if you know that your income has been compromised, rather go to your credit facility, sit down with them and negotiate a payment term with them. Please do not sit at home and assume that they will understand. It will hit back on your credit score. It will show that you are late on certain payments. If you need to go to your credit provider and actually sit down and have that conversation, make that arrangement, it will work better. Understand that the type of financial decisions that you make now will affect you in the long run. And in a case where, let's say, things bounce back and you get your income back, and now you want to upgrade your house, it is going to be problematic in a sense that because of these debit orders that have bounced, even if it is 3 years from now when they look into your credit record and they found that you are not paying off or you are not honoring certain debt, basically what they're going to do, they're going to charge you a higher interest rate because they view you as a high-risk customer. Very important, let us honor those debits. If not, let us rather make payment arrangements, speak to your credit providers. And guys, if you are one person who is blessed enough that your income has not been compromised due to this pandemic, what I would advise on that is that we are seeing all over the world, we are seeing governments all over the world, they're actually cutting down on interest rates. You'll see announcements from all over the world. Basically, what the governments are trying to do, they are trying to assist people to service their debt, they are trying to assist people and the economy to actually flow, because when interest rates are less, people are most likely to go and apply for credit, and when they apply for credit, they get access to money and they go back and they purchase, and that basically is how the economy will flow. So that is one thing that we are seeing, but it is also an advantage to someone who has money to pay. And if you have an existing debt, let's say you've got a mortgage loan. If you have a mortgage loan and interest rates are as less as they are right now, advantage on that, pay as much additional as you possibly can into your mortgage loan. It will assist you. It will decrease the interest that you owe on that mortgage loan because you are paying more into it, understanding that when it comes to interest, interest works in two ways. It is your simple interest and your compound interest. With most debt facilities, they work on compound interest. It's interest on interest. So when you pay more into this loan of yours, it means that you are taking the actual principal amount down. It is quite important. It is quite important. One great philosopher once asked, will you have enough money to reach your dreams and your goals? Will you have enough money to secure your financial future? Let us start thinking about our financial future. As much as we might be confused due to this pandemic, let us remember that we also still need to focus on creating generational wealth. There is a next generation that is coming after us, and we need to give them a head start. As confusing as things might be right now, let us remember that financial literacy is not something that you learn today, but it is something that you practice into your everyday life on a continuous basis. Let us learn as much as we possibly can, and let us apply these steps that I've just spoken about. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much. We bless the Lord. I will be taking questions. You can find me on social media if you need assistance on anything finance related. Any questions that you have from whichever part of the world that you are on, I will assist you. I will answer them. Please do tune in next week, Thursday, same time. We will be discussing a different topic. If you'd like for me to discuss a certain topic that you need assistance with, do find me on social media, on Facebook. It is Money Matters with Sanel Suemaphosa. Do check the page. You can inbox me your question. I will respond to it. On Instagram, I am Sanel Suez. Do follow me on Instagram, send me your questions, and let us assist each other as much as we possibly can, children of God. But through it all, let us remember that our God is still mighty, He's still powerful, He still loves us. Even in this confusion, He's still God and He's still seated on the throne. Nothing can take God by surprise. Let us apply the wisdom that we are learning each and every day to better approach our finances. A finance should not be something which is a headache. It should not be something which is so complicated that certain people don't understand it just because they do not have a finance background. And also let's bear in mind that it is never too late. Irregardless of your age, it is never too late. Finance does not have a certain timetable that you must know this at a certain age. We learn every day. We learn every day. With that said, thank you so much. May God keep you. May God bless you until we meet again next week. Thank you so much and stay blessed. Mwah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.